And welcome back to Hip to Be a Square podcast, your place for things quilty and geeky. What an invigorating yet unplanned hiatus I took. Apologies for missing 2 weeks ago. For 2 days, the Friday that I would normally release and the Saturday after, I thought about every 75 minutes, I really should record that podcast before I leave town. As you'll note, that did not happen. The reason that I suspect is that I had a written list of major things I needed to get done before I left town for Las Vegas for my big work conference, and I failed to write actually podcast on that list. I thought about it a lot, but I didn't actually write it down. So, note to my brain and also my hand, when I do that, I need to commit things to writing. So, I don't know that it would have been a terribly valuable podcast anyway. It would have been a lot of nervous laughter. I'm so anxious about going. So there you are. And I would have recorded on Friday, but of course the last work day before said work event, more than a little bananas, honestly. But everything went well in Vegas, and I am a hero. Hooray. So the conference went well. The portions I was responsible for were well received. You know, there were minor hiccups, not even snafus, just like, oh, well, let's just deal with this. And honestly, I got to pick someone to help me with the bulk of my responsibilities on site. And that person was so awesome. I really didn't have much to do. So that was kind of awesome. So much so that, well, and this is mildly disappointing, but on the other hand, not. I was supposed to go out of town again for another week in a couple weeks to San Francisco, and that is not going to happen for me. But the good news for the person that I trained for Las Vegas did such a great job, they're taking her instead, and she is super excited about it. So it's going to work out great for both of us, although I am disappointed I won't get to see Jay in person. Sad trombone. But I will have another opportunity next year. So, there you go. Yes, so I don't want to dwell on work stuff. I posted a couple pictures on Instagram. Because of the depth of my involvement in planning, I got the opportunity to get some of the special treats of like meeting some of the celebrity speakers. So I met Dr. Michio Kaku, who is the gentleman with the shocking white hair on Discovery Science that does, he is billed as like theoretical physicist and science enthusiast. So, and you don't get a lot of time to just like sit and have some coffee chat with these guys. It's like a cattle call of like going in, getting a picture taken, maybe say one sentence to the person and, you know, didn't know, do we introduce ourselves? What's the deal? And I thought he's not going to remember me. And so, you know, walked up, said hello, shook his hand, smiled for the picture, went to walk off and my brain just kind of locked up. And I think I said, my family and I love everything you do with science. And I think I meant to say the Science Channel, but I just stopped at science. So he may remember that. He may not. Either way, he's a lovely gentleman and incredibly smart and a gifted speaker if you ever get a chance to see him, even not in the TV box. The other celebrity I got a chance to meet was Pat Monahan, the lead singer for Train. Now, originally, I was going to go to the Train concert, but I was so tired, and it would have meant standing for another 3 hours when I had already just spent 12 hours standing at our booth. I thought, well, I will meet him. I will listen to his music appreciatively on my iPod. But then I will go out to dinner with several of my friends from the conference instead. And it was honestly the best food that I had ever had in Las Vegas. So if you get a chance to go to Beauty in Essex in Las Vegas, it's in the Cosmopolitan Hotel. And it's based on a restaurant that was started in New York City. Pro tip, New York City, when you go in their ladies' room, they will pour you free champagne. However, in the Las Vegas version, the restroom is outside the restaurant in another part of the hotel. So you just have to go out and walk down a hallway to get to it. But because of that, no free champagne. So one of my friends I was with went to the host and said, oh, I love this restaurant in New York City. I was so disappointed that we didn't get champagne in the ladies' room here. Apparently that's all you need to say and they'll give you a coupon for free champagne. So we had free champagne that night. But it was glorious, wonderful food, a little salty. So if you got some high blood pressure issues, maybe take that into account. But it was quite delicious. Brussels sprouts, macaroni and cheese with truffles, like things that don't sound glamorous, but the way that they were prepared were amazing. Like green beans. Who knew green beans could be so good? Anyway, Beauty in Essex in Las Vegas, quite good. Honestly, I really don't remember what happened in the 2 weeks leading up to the event. So I have no idea what I was going to talk about 2 weeks ago. That's how great it's going, guys. I am going to do a little shout out on comments on the last podcast episode I got to. So thank you, Margaret K. and also Jay and Vicky for your feedback. I appreciate that. We had a couple episodes of the Stitch Drop. So thank you, Andra, for your comment there. And then our last one, oh, Noni commented. So thank you, Noni. So we had talked about hand quilting on our last episode of the Stitch, and Noni recommended Peppercorry. But here's the thing. I don't know that I am invested enough in the idea of hand quilting to commit to that. Like, I already know there will be some arthritis issues for me in the future, just based on family history. So I don't want to fall in love with the thing only to be sorely disappointed in it. And I don't know that that's my strength. So I will, if offered, yes, I will probably do it just for the opportunity to do it. Kind of like Karen K. Buckley is coming to our guild at the end of June and is teaching a class on hand applique. Now, do I want to have a long career in hand applique? Not particularly. But she has a lot to share and teach, and so I will do it anyway. Even if I mean, I love the project, but I just look at it and think, holy moly, that's a lot of work. And there's a lot of round things in there, and you guys know that all of my round berries come out with corners, and that I'm trying to encourage one of my children, at least, to become a biologist to develop a strain of berry plant that would have corners, so my berries would then look natural. So far, that plan is failing. I am raising an engineer and an artist. Dang it. So if anybody has a lead on a biology kid, I got some ideas for him. So, and Frances from Off Kilter Quilt mentioned in her latest podcast that she was coming to my guild, which is in fact the East Cobb Quilters Guild, at the end of October. So it is the last Friday in October and the Thursday night preceding that. So I typically go to the evening guild. And then, so Frances is coming to both, I believe. She's going to talk to our evening group and give us a little razzle-dazzle with a show and tell. No pressure, Frances. And then also at the day meeting as well. And those are in Marietta, Georgia, for anyone that's local and would like to come and meet Frances and even hang out with me for a bit. And that is end of October. I don't have the dates memorized. Sorry. I will try and look them up in the show notes, but let's be honest, I will probably forget to actually do that. So y'all, sorry. And you know, Frances gave me a shout out for something else and I really can't remember what, so here's just a general hey Frances, thank you for podcasting shout out. And I'm glad that we have these little conversations to each other over the audio waves that everyone can hear. And yet we mean to comment on each other's podcasts but rarely do, and maybe I'll remember to say something in the Twilters group on Facebook. But again, maybe not. I'll probably forget. So please just know that I send out good vibes and comments from my head, and that that is the same thing I do to my mom. I will write her emails in my head, but not actually commit them to the keyboard. And she frequently has to text me or email me and say, please don't respond in your head. So I have the best of intentions, but my brain doesn't always get things out of my head into the real world. Alrighty, so in other news, we had a lot of requests on the Stitch to reveal what the Roman Yossi portrait quilt that Lynn worked on went for, and that will be coming out in episode 316, so in a week we will reveal that. And she, I think, posted the last of her making of with kind of the reveal of the auction itself. So today, I'm looking at it, it is 76% uploaded right now, a video that I recorded about shopping your fabric stash. So what that means is when you want to make a quilt, and in the example that I use, I have two different feature fabrics. So I pull from my stash different fabrics that I would pick to go with those feature fabrics. So to me, a feature fabric is a print. It's got multiple colors in it. It's not a tonal or anything like that. It's got typically considered a novelty print or maybe a big print. So think of your Amy Butlers, your Tula Pinks. In my case, I used two different fabrics from QT Fabrics. From projects that I had done with their fabrics previously. But I talked about the process that I go through and how to balance choosing color and pattern and value to get a good variety. And that was regardless, or is it irregardless? I think it's regardless of the pattern that I might use for that. I was just pulling fabrics for the sake of creating a variety. Do talk a little bit about background fabric and field fabric and how that might work, but that is uploading currently because it's Fifth Friday and we don't normally have anything post on Fifth Friday. You may have noticed the celebrity interviews tapered off, and frankly that was just due to my work schedule got crazy insane and I couldn't record during the day as I usually or I used to be able to. But again, since Big Event has now settled and I'm in a more regular cadence of my job responsibilities, that should settle down. We should be able to get back to some of those. But we've also been figuring out, like, well, what else do we want to do? Like, we did a spontaneous, you know, the episode 312 and a half conversation when the Free Spirit shutdown came out. And that worked well. So we've talked about doing some book club episodes, which was a request when we put out a call for new topics. So that might become just a standalone video series. I need to draft out, pick some dates, and we'll probably do them the same as we do the virtual stitching, where we pre-announce kind of the, hey, we're going to record this on a Friday night. You guys tune in live, and then it'll be posted afterwards for anyone that wants to. So we're going to start doing that. People really enjoyed the making of series for the Roman Yossi quilt. So Lynn is working on another one on a modern crazy quilt, which is kind of fun. And I am trying to figure out, like, what do I want to do separately on the stitch that will typically involve cats jumping in and out, which if you watch the video that's going up today, you will see. Anyway, so what have I been working on? Well, in exciting news, and I hope Jay is still sitting down, maybe even on the floor so she doesn't fall over further, I got the Dresden Garden quilt basted and started quilting it. Now, curses foiled again. Because, so in the Susan Cleveland class, she talked about using a 100-weight Invisifil for stitching in the ditch. So it gives the look that you need of things being quilted without drawing attention to the thread. So I bought myself some 100-weight Invisifil, and lo and behold, she's right. That's probably why we paid her to teach us that. So I picked like a mildly off-white Invisifil and use that to stitch around the center applique to help hold all that down. Now, my plan was, I also, on her recommendation, got some 12-weight thread, also from Wonderfill. It's called the spaghetti line, but there's no H in after the G like you would expect. And I went with kind of a neutral assortment because the colors in my quilt are, they're Adidas Sitar line, so they're very earthy. So browns and burgundies and navy blues. So not a lot of bright poppy jewel tones that I usually work with, but very grounded, very earthy colors. So this kind of neutral line had like an army green and a rust color and things that really complemented what I was using for the applique and the fabrics in this quilt. So my grand plan was to use the 12-weight thread in my Sweet 16 and do the outline quilting of ghost versions of leaves and some additional Dresden flowers. Turns out I don't think I have the right size needle because I tried it and it just got a bunch of skip stitches. And I thought, well, here we go. So far I've hand quilted three leaves. I think I might mix it up and do some of the leaves with the Invisifil. So they're truly kind of ghost leaves. So I have applique leaves with like an olive green fabric. I have the outline of some leaves with olive green thread, 12 weight. And now I might ghost quilt some of those shapes, some of those leaf shapes with a thread that matches the background, which is like a cream color. Well, to make all of those things pop now, I have to heavily quilt the background. And I'm pausing for dramatic effect because my original plan was I'm going to crosshatch this background around the behind the applique and it's going to look awesome. Well, you know, I may still do that. I may not. We'll see. I don't know. May or may not work. I don't want to just do an all-over filler because I feel like that's just going to look like I phoned it in. And at this point, I'm not above phoning it in, let's be honest, but I don't want to really, really phone it in. So I'm just trying to get through the center right now. I have a vision for what I want to do on the 9-patch on point border. I even have a vision of what I want to do in the solid border that frames up the center. But then I get to the outside border with like the half Dresdens, and then I got nothing. I'm out of ideas. So I could do more ghost leaves. I could do, I don't know. I could cross hatch in there. I don't know. I got nothing. So I'm just trying to get through the center right now. But I will be honest, hand quilting, not my favorite. And I use a thimble. And all that thimble does is tell my brain, hey, don't use that finger. There's something wrong with that finger. It's got a weird thing on the end of it. And I use a finger without a thimble. And then unless I put thimbles on all four fingers and my thumb, whatever. So basically what I do is hand quilt until my finger hurts too much. And then I know it's time to stop and do something else. Which, you know, thank you, Mother Nature, for designing human with pain receptors to tell us when it's time to take a break, because that's about 40, 45 minutes anyway, and you got to stand up and walk around. It's amazing how the human body works in its favor to preserve itself. So when I have not been hand quilting, I have been working on some improv-ish, they're not quite improv, but log cabin-ish type blocks. And I'm putting ish in hedging the description of all of these. It's because I have not measured anything. I have like whacked off a potentially wonky center square and then just started piecing strings around it. So I spent $10 on this bag of random strings and end cuts at Sew Boutique when I was at the original Sewing and Quilt Expo in Atlanta. And it was a great investment. So it's kind of random width. Some were too skinny for me to actually sew. I think on the bag, it was like perfect for weaving. And I was like, get out of here with that. I'm not weaving nothing. So there were maybe 10 strips that were a half inch wide, which if you sew a quarter inch seam on either side, you got nothing. So those strips were meaningless for me, but I could use them to like wrap up presents or rubbish as Grandma Eddie did and toss it down the chute. So I kind of set those aside, and then the others, there were some that were maybe a little too dark for what I wanted to do, but, my goal was to create some 10 inch finished wonky log cabin blocks, 16 of them. So they will make a square quilt background for a special project that I am working on. And they turned out pretty good. So what I did, I had one fabric that I had pretty wide strips of that was pinkish. So a bit of a nod to a traditional log cabin quilt, which typically has a red center square, which is supposed to be, you know, the hearth or the center of the home. So a nod to that, and started from that, and then would just pick fabric strips and just start sewing around as you would make kind of a traditional log cabin. And then just tried to make it so I didn't have more than two strips of the same fabric in each block, or not have those, if there are two of the same fabric, not have them touching. And I finished all of my blocks this week, so I just need to trim them down. And I will cut them so they're a little wonky-ish. I could cut them a little more straight, but I think it adds more interest to make them wonkier. So I will get that put together, and then I have to do some applique on top of that. So that is looking pretty good. I have also been working still on my scrappy trip around the world blocks. I think I need 4 more to get the size that I want. And let's be honest, I have plenty of fabric of those strips cut left, so I will definitely get multiple scrappy trips quilts out of this thing that I'm working on. Oh, goodness. So yeah, it's going great. I've been enthusiastically shoveling the cats away from the sewing machine. There's 2 nearby now, kind of giving me the stink eye as I'm keeping them from their naps by talking nerds to them. I got a podcast to do. Oh, I did finish another baby quilt that's going to a coworker, and I think I talked about that a month ago, that I was working on it, but I did finish it. I need to get it written up as a pattern-ish, but it has like over 1,100 pieces, and it's just all 2.5-inch squares. Yowza. With a couple half-square triangles thrown in. I think 72 of those. But it's cute, and you can scale it up or down based on the size squares that you use, so that'll be fun. Yeah. So that's what's going on here. I did want to talk about books for a few minutes. I have not read a ton, you'd think, in the last month. I was on a roll there for a while. And I think I talked about... Oh, let me just go back to Paper Magician, which I think I got for like $1.99. And so it's an author named Charlie Holmberg. It's a woman. And this is the... Says it's a trilogy, but I think she's up to 4 or 5 books in it, so bad at math, that's fine. Lots of nice people are not great at counting. So I enjoyed the premise of the book, I enjoyed the book itself, until I read the reviews, and then the one thing they all pointed out really bothered me. So it is set in Victorian? Elizabethan? Not Elizabethan. I think Victorian or Edwardian times. Ish. See, I'm bad at dates. There you are. Anyway, but it uses very modern language. And so that can be disconcerting. Now, I will say I got into the characters in the story and didn't even pay attention to the fact that she was using modern colloquialisms, the main character, in her speech. So if that kind of stuff bothers you, then don't read it. If you don't necessarily care and you're willing to just suspend some disbelief that, hey, this chick's a magician and has magic power over paper, then just keep on suspending your disbelief and enjoy the story. So I've started the second book as well, and it is also fairly good. Same kind of characters. They're branching out in the world a bit. You know, and the interesting story and premise and world. And so I just want to know more about the world. I don't know that I necessarily think the main character is the best, but if you want to write fanfic in your head, this is a great series to do that for. I don't know that that's a ringing endorsement, but hey, for $2, it was pretty good. So I also read Year One, The Chronicles of the One by Nora Roberts, which is her foray into, I don't know if it's urban fantasy. I think urban fantasy is probably correct. So the premise is there's a giant plague that wipes out a good bit of the Earth's population and also triggers a change in other parts of the population that, like, turns them into fairies and dwarves and other fantastical beings. And, you know, I can read a Nora Roberts book and then immediately forget it because they're kind of formulaic. That doesn't mean they're not good and that they're not engaging and you're not into it when you're reading it. I will say she did not change her writing style for this, and it is not a romance. And you definitely get that when some things happen to certain main characters and you're like, well, that does not happen in her other books. But because she didn't change her writing style, in her romance books, her characters are incredibly earnest And in this post-apocalyptic world that comes off as a little disingenuous, where they are these, you know, six characters in a life and death situation, literally being attacked by some kind of monster, and they're like, we will go down this hallway and we will win. Which is not how characters would actually, how real people would actually act. These characters clearly act like that because that's how she wrote it. But I found that to be distracting, which is ironic when you consider that in the previous book that I talked about, I didn't care that they were using modern colloquialisms in the 1800s or 1900s. So I don't know. It was still a good story. I will still read others in the series, but I did find that language a little distracting from her characters. Like, oh, okay, honey. Like, no, we're not all. Nope. So, if you like Nora Roberts and you like urban fantasy, you know, it's worth checking out. It's a big old honking book, though, so it might take you a while to get through. Another book I read was called The Forgetting Time by Sharon Guskin. I think this is her first book. This was an interesting premise and kind of deals with the idea of past lives and what happens when those come to the surface and really start affecting your modern, you know, your current life, particularly when it is a child in question. And so it's kind of the story of this mother that has a kid that's acting out in a lot of different ways. And, you know, she's kind of at the end of her rope and starts to open her mind to the possibility of like, ooh, maybe there is a past life at play here. So it's a little woo-woo in that way, but it wasn't distractingly so. And it does bring in elements of Eastern culture in some way. I mean, this is set in New York City in the United States. So there's kind of a, why is this even happening here? There seems to be a lot more instances of past lives, you know, documented in the Eastern world. So it's an interesting story. It's kind of about how this mother tries to help her son, the ramifications, and the other characters that she meets along the way to do this. So it was a pretty good book. I gave it 4 out of 5 stars. I would say I would give it 5, but there were some things. It was hard to keep track of some of the characters, which is probably on me because I was reading this in an incredibly busy time, when I also had like 3 books out from the library at the same time and kind of had to rush through some of them. So that probably lacking a star because of me, not because of the book itself. But that is The Forgetting Time by Sharon Guskin. I also read The Gunners by Rebecca Kaufman. And I was not quite sure what to expect out of this one. I think I put it on my library list because it had been on a list of like top books from 2017 you can't put down this summer. And I just went through and compared against what my library had in stock. This is a story of 6 friends that are now grown adults. And they come together because one of their childhood friends has died. And they're coming together for the funeral. And it's told in a series of like 1 chapter is a flashback from one of the characters' perspectives. And then it goes back to like present day activity. And what they're trying to figure out is this friend that passed kind of left their friend group at age 16. And they're all trying to figure out why, or they all secretly think they're the reason. And it's this beautiful unfurling of all of the complexities of the relationships when you have 6 friends together in a group and how they've all changed and how what happened to them as kids affected them. So if you just like human stories, you never get a clear answer. I will say that. But you have a decent idea of what happened back when they were all 16. So that's The Gunners. And it's so called because they all like hang out in this abandoned house that the Gunner family lived in, or the old man Gunner lived in. So there's no actual guns in this story, if you're worried about that. Okay. And then last one to review is La Belle Sauvage, which I'm probably pronouncing horribly, but it's the first in the series, The Book of Dust, by Philip Pullman, who wrote the Golden Compass series. Is that what it's called? I can't remember. That was the name of the movie in the U.S. that was released, but it was the the Dark Materials series. See, now, I called this conference aphasia when I could not remember words. last week. It's still a little bit of a trickle hangover for me. But this is a prequel to that series. And so he, you know, it's a YA series. It's the story of Lyra, who's the main character of the original trilogy. It's her as a baby and kind of the societal expectations that are placed on her as kind of being this one that's going to change everything. And so it dumps you right in the universe without explanation, because I was like, wait, why are all, who, they all have demons? What's this? And so the demons are the animal, not characters. I don't know the right way to describe it, but it's kind of the spiritual counterpart that every person in this world has. Let's be honest, mine would be a cat. But as kids, they can, their animal companions can change forms. And so it's kind of the story of how Lyra comes to be protected and guarded. And particularly it's the story of a teenage boy who just really takes this on as this is his goal in life, is to protect baby Lyra. So it's a great story about, you know, the lengths that he goes to and how he's just like, I'm just a kid. What am I doing trying to fight off bad guys and all this stuff? So if you enjoyed that original trilogy, this is a great companion to it. And it is a prequel, so you will be just dumped right in and think, oh, I thought this was a sequel. Nope, it's a prequel. Happens before. So, and that's all the books fit to print for this week. I'm going to wrap it up. I have to get back to work. Don't tell work that I'm actually taking a break to do this. So I will wrap it up here. I will be back in 2 weeks. Pinky promise, and I will catch up with you all later. Quilt long and prosper. The opening music is a theme from The Stitch by Big Think Productions, courtesy of Ed and Eddie, LLC. To find out more about the podcast and listen to archived episodes, visit the website at www.hiptobeasquarepodcast.com. You can contact me, Pam, by emailing info@hiptobeasquarepodcast.com, leaving a comment on the website, or by following me on Twitter at PantsFreesia. You can also find me on Pinterest, Instagram, and Flickr as PantsFreesia. Watch my show, The Stitch, online at www.thestitchtvshow.com, and follow the show on Facebook, Google+, Instagram, Twitter, and Pinterest at The Stitch TV Show. Don't forget, it's hip to be a square.